Was it mine? Or you really believe you are here because God has placed you. It's a verse in Romans. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "For we know in all things God is working for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." We know that in all things God is working for your good. For your good, because you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. In all things, in your job, in your family, in your church, in your home, when things are good, things are bad, good appraisal, bad appraisal, God is working. If you are here, it is because of God's work, not your work and mine. Let us not be deceived that we have earned the right to be in the palace. What do you believe about your path to the palace? Forgive me if I'm coming across harshly, and this is, I speak from my heart. This is the sin that is there in my heart. This is the wickedness that is there in my heart, assuming my success belongs to me. The path to the palace. The second, the peril of the palace. The peril of the palace. You know, Haman's decree, and which the king ratified, that all Jews must be killed, was not Esther's biggest danger. That was not the biggest danger of Esther's life. The biggest danger of Esther's life was that she loved the palace more than she loved God. The palace was the biggest danger. We read that interaction between Esther and Mordecai through that servant who mediated between the two, who played the role of the messenger. Esther says, Mordecai says, all Jews are going to die. Esther says, but if I go to the king, I will die. If I go to the king, I will die. The peril of the palace is we will come to love the palace so much that we will forget He who gave up the palace for our sake. The peril of our work is that we will come to love success at work so much that God will take second place in our lives. Bear with me if I say to you, you and I are in grave danger of loving the palace more than we love God. Yes, sir. Failure at work is okay. I'm not saying, therefore, do not put in your best. That's not what I'm saying. We are called to excel. We are called, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. Christ is your inheritance. It doesn't say success is your inheritance. Why are you and I so afraid of failure? It is okay to fail in the palace. People called Jesus a failure. He was hanging on the cross and people walking by said, oh, you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, why don't you come down and save yourself? You're such a failure hanging on the cross. It's okay to fail. It's okay to fail in a project. I'm not saying don't put in your best. I'm saying failure cannot crush us. I'd rather have failure and draw closer to God than have success and drift away from God. That is the peril of the palace. That is the peril of the palace. In the palace, Esther became so self-centered. Her disappointment came through. This king picked me from 1,000 women. He said, I was the most beautiful. He made me the queen. And last 30 days, I don't know who he is sleeping with. I'm sure there was someone from one of the concubines the king would have gone to. 30 days the king hasn't called for me. 30 days the king hasn't spoken to me. Last 3 months, my boss has not had a good conversation with me. My boss has not given me any feedback. I don't know if I'm going. Insecurity. Esther became so self-centered. The lives of all the Jews are at stake. And she says, the king hasn't talked to me for 30 days. That is the peril of the palace. And you're at risk. So am I. failure is not my biggest worry. Success is my biggest worry. What if I lose my job? It's a thought I've had for the last few months. It's a very difficult economy. And I've learned to come to peace. If I lose my job, I will struggle to pay my EMIs. I will struggle. I don't know how I will survive beyond 2-3 months. But my posture is, yet I will praise you, Lord. Yet I will trust you, Lord. Yes, I will put my hope in you, my faith in you. You are my eternal security. That thought does not cripple me. It's okay. I'd rather take poverty and be close to God than take the palace and drift away from God. That's the peril of the palace. Third, the purpose of the palace. I'd like to make 2 points here. The purpose of the palace. Now, this is important. You know, Esther never figured out her purpose in the palace. She was not the one to figure out her purpose in the palace. She needed a Mordecai to speak into her life and say, perhaps it is for such a time as this that God has placed you in the highest place. She couldn't figure out the purposes of God because she was self-centered. I want to tell you, do you have a Mordecai who can speak into your life? Who will challenge you? Who will correct you? Who will question you? Have you ever allowed a person like that? It could be your pastor. It could be the person who's discipling you. It could be a mentor. Have you entered into that accountability relationship with some elder or the other? When I say elder, I mean a spiritual elder. You know, at GMI, we take discipling very seriously. And I want to say, and I say this from experience, workplace professionals are the most difficult to have a discipling relationship with because their success comes in the way. I speak this for others. I speak this for myself. Personally, Ajay and I, we are discipled by Joe and Sunita. And I know what my heart is. I know my heart. Because we are so successful, we tend to think, Esther could have said, I am the queen, Mr. Mordecai. Have you forgotten that? Who are you? You are a nobody in the kingdom, but I am the queen of the palace. Why should I listen to you, Mr. Mordecai? Who has the right to speak into your life and say, you are doing wrong? David had a Nathan. Who do you have? Esther had a Mordecai. Have you given anyone that permission to challenge you, to question you, to hold you accountable? Where are you in the relationship of discipleship that you've willingly entered into? It needed a Mordecai. Without a Mordecai, Esther would never have figured out the purposes in her palace. Would you like to make a fresh covenant with your discipler? Would you like to go back and make a fresh covenant saying, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against God. I have not been open to correction in my life. Workplace professionals, we need correction. I need correction. And I've been corrected. Joe and Sunita, who disciple Ajay and I, they've corrected us. I'm so grateful. They looked us in the eye and said, Anand, you're doing wrong. I'm so grateful to God they corrected us. Are you open to correction? The second thing I want to say, who started this problem? Who caused the crisis which led to almost all the Jews being killed? Who started it? Mordecai started it. All Mordecai had to do, for those of us, I'm sure all of us have read the book of Esther, what Mordecai had to do is do one salam to Haman and problem solved. Mordecai was the cause of the problem. If he had gone to Haman and said, salam bhai, that's it. That's what upset Haman, and that's what led to all this confusion in the entire kingdom. It was 100% Mordecai's fault. Your discipler is not perfect. Neither are you. Mordecai was not perfect. Your discipler, the person you are giving the right to correct you, will never be perfect. He will make mistakes, as Mordecai made a mistake that almost led to the annihilation of all the Jews. And yet, it is God, who is never mentioned in the book of Esther, working in all these circumstances for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Yet, it was Mordecai who opened Esther's eyes to her own self-centeredness and to seeing the purposes of God in her life. The second thing I want to talk about, the purpose of the palace. The question of purpose, I was talking in one of our group discussions, George was talking, the quest for purpose is so big in our lives of professionals. You know, companies, I've been engaging with Unilever recently, Unilever no longer wants to be an ordinary company, they want to be a purpose-driven company. The question of what is my calling, what is my purpose, is so big in all of our lives. Very true for a working professional. Am I adding value? Is there meaning in what I'm doing? That's a question that is very big in your heart and in my heart. You know, 10 years ago, this question was burning in my heart. I wanted to know, God, there was a time when I spent praying. I said, God, what is the purpose in my life? What is my purpose in life? Will you tell me my purpose? I was praying. It was at this point of time that someone I stumbled upon gave me the book called Purpose Driven Life. I picked up the book. I said, now I'm going to know the purpose of my life. I'm going to find my purpose. And I opened the book. The first sentence in the first chapter hit me like a hammer. One blow, and that is it. One blow, and I was knocked out. The first sentence of the book read this. This is what it read like. It is not about you. Your purpose in the palace is not about you. It's not about your problem. It's not about your struggle. It's not about your furnace. It is about him who is going to walk with you in the purpose, in the furnace. It's deeds. The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. If you want to know why you're placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. I don't know what your purpose in life is, but this I know, your purpose in life is not about you. How often have your prayers for work been about you and your struggles and your problems? The purpose of the palace is not about you. Unless you're willing to die to yourself, if Esther had not come to the place to realize that her purpose in her palace, she was beautiful. Extraordinarily beautiful. One in a thousand. How easily she could have assumed that it was her right. That's why she was in the palace. It's all about her and her beauty. That's what she could have assumed. For people who work, I mean, beauty might seem an alien concept, but for work, let me tell you something. You and I are desperate for beauty. You and I are desperate to look good before our colleagues, before our bosses, before our subordinates. We don't want a single speck in our performance. We don't want a single blot in our performance. You and I want to look beautiful before our boss, before our colleagues, before our subordinates. Beauty, being looking good at work, is so important to us. But that is not God's purpose in our lives. Your purpose is not about you. The moment you accept that the purpose of your career is not about you, only then does God start working. The moment Esther realized that her purpose in the palace is not about her, but about all the other Jews, then God's calling came with power upon her life. And the last, the principle of the palace. And Esther says, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. That's the posture you and I are called to live in when we are in the palace. You know, I could close by saying, be like Esther. What a woman. Be like her. I don't want to close with Esther. She was a person just like, she was as self-centered as you and I are. But I want to talk and I want to close with another one. Another one. And this person did not say, if I perish, I perish. This person said, when I perish, I perish. He was born to die. He left a palace. He didn't need a Mordecai to force him, to persuade him to leave the palace. He left the palace that was far, far greater than any palace you and I have ever seen. He left the palace on his own. Esther's death may have accomplished something. If she had indeed died, may not have accomplished something. We don't know. But the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, it has accomplished everything for us. It has ensured that the ultimate hope that we have, Revelation 22, we will see him face to face. God will come and make his dwelling among his people. There shall be no more sin, no more sickness, no more shame, no more death, no more bad boss, no more unfair appraisal, no more injustice, no more pink slips, no more trouble in the workplace, because we're going to be with him and we're going to be worshiping him. That is our ultimate hope. And Christ left his palace. He lived to die. He was born to die. He died on the cross and rose again so that we don't have to fear. The fear of perishing need no longer be in our lives. So what if you don't do well in your career? So what if you make a mistake? So what if you struggle? So what if your boss gives you a bad appraisal? So what if you don't get what you deserve? How many of you feel bothered by that? I worked so hard, I didn't get what I deserve in my office. You know what? I don't want what I deserve. If I get what I deserve, I have no hope for eternity. It is Christ got what I deserved, and I got what Christ deserved. I dare not hope to get what I deserve. What I deserve for my sin is punishment and eternal separation from God. But by his grace,